It's not how we expected our first Sunday to be, but one thing that's not different, whether if we would have been together here in the same building or watching on live streaming like we're doing right now, God is with us. And so I'm excited about that. I'm excited about everything that God's been doing, even though we haven't been able to meet here in this building. We've been worshiping together. We've had our CL talks. We've had our CL moments. It's just been incredible to see the body of Christ come together and to move together as one voice, even though we're not in the same place. And I'm especially thankful for what, the other day on our Good Morning CL, I decided to coin the name Pastor Dad. That's what we're all going to start calling Pastor Al. He is no longer Pastor Al. He is now Pastor Dad, because he said something really important. He's not going anywhere. I don't want him to go anywhere. You don't want him to go anywhere. None of us want him to go anywhere. And we're excited about that because we need fathers. We need fathers. It says, Paul said at one point that we have many teachers, but we don't have many fathers. And so we need his fatherly apostolic voice over us in every single moment. Not just, so whenever the transition happens, it's not just like, oh, all of a sudden Pastor Al is going to disappear. His voice is going to continue on. And that reminds me a lot of who we're going to talk about this morning. This morning I want to talk to you and give you some examples from the life of Abraham. For those of you who don't know, Abraham is considered one of the fathers of our faith. And so I have here, and as Pastor Chris said, we've got the notes over here, so you can look at those. And I'm going to do a brief overview of the life of Abraham. I know many of you know who Abraham is, but we've had so many people getting saved, and we live in a generation that we don't know who does and who does not know about the faith anymore. And so as we're teaching, the reason why there's like simplistic parts and moderate parts and then more advanced parts in the messages that you hear coming from Pastor Dad and you hear coming from me is because we're talking to a very wide audience right now. We're talking to people who have no idea who Jesus is or was, and we have people who have known who Jesus is and was for a long, long time. And then we even have people that have misconceptions about who Jesus is. And so what we want to do is as we're preaching and as we're teaching the word of God, we want to be able to do simple things so that those people who are just now getting saved, just now discovering about the Christian faith, that they can come alongside and come up quicker and quicker and quicker with us who have been at this for a long time, okay? So bear with me for just a second as we get a little theological and historical. Once named Abram, Abraham was the first of the Hebrew patriarchy. Around the time that he was 70 years old, he was called by God to leave his family, inheritance, and homeland of Ur to a place God would show him. His life was full of deep encounters with God, where he received promises concerning his legacy outnumbering the stars. When he was 99 years old, God changed his name from Abram, meaning the father is exalted, to Abraham. Abraham literally means the father of many nations. A year after God's promise to Abraham, his wife Sarah gave birth to a son named Isaac. And Isaac was the father of Jacob, who was later called Israel, and the nation from which Jesus descended, and Israel was the nation that Jesus descended from. So this is why Abraham is known as one of the literal fathers of our faith as followers of Jesus. He's not only a literal father of our faith, but the motif or the pattern of his life is a fatherly example of how we can walk in faith with God. So that's why we're going to examine the life of Abraham today, because he is the father of our faith. Literally, Jesus, the man part of Jesus, descended from the lineage of Abraham. So if you could, let's go together to Romans 4, 17 through 21. We're going to stay right here in this text today, and I'm going to be reading out of the Passion Translation. Many of you may not have that translation, so if you don't, again, just look at the notes right over here, because it's all there. So we're going to start in verse 17 of chapter 4 in Romans. It says, That's what the scripture means when it says, I have made you the father of many nations. Remember, I told you that the name Abraham means father of many nations. He, Abraham, is our example and father. For in God's presence, he believed that God can raise the dead and call into being things that don't exist yet. Against all odds, when it looked hopeless, Abraham believed the promise and expected God to fulfill it. He took God at his word, and as a result, he became the father of many nations. God's declaration over him came to pass. Your descendants will be so many that they will be impossible to count. What an incredible scripture. So, like I said, we're going to look at his life, look at the pattern of his life, and we're going to dissect it, and we're going to look into some things. So one of the similarities that we have in our life that's similar to Abraham's life is that we, like Abraham, have varying promises from God. There are over 3,000 promises, for those of you who don't know this, there are over 3,000 promises given to us as believer in the Bible. There are promises of rest, fulfillment of needs, forgiveness of sin, eternal life, health and healing, protection, peace, joy, victory, sonship, freedom from loneliness, strength, and so on. We have a lot of promises that have been given to us by God. But here's a little caveat concerning the promises of God that we need to understand. The promises of God are at odds with earthly realities. What does that mean? There are certain things here on the earth that are real for us. That's sickness, that's poverty, that's shame, that's loss, that's depression. Those are all things that we really do go through here on earth. Those are things that we really do experience as human beings, and as a result of the fall of man. That would be a whole nother thing to get into today, but I don't have very much time. But when Adam sinned, all of these different realities that were contrary to the realities that Adam lived in, Adam wasn't sick, Adam had provision, Adam wasn't depressed, Adam wasn't struggling with insecurities like we struggle with insecurities. All of that stuff was before Adam sinned, and then after Adam sinned, we entered into a different reality as human beings on the earth, okay? That was all a result of sin. And so health is at odds with sickness. Whenever we see a promise from God concerning health, that's directly at odds with sickness. Forgiveness of sin is at odds with shame. Prosperity is at odds with poverty. Joy is at odds with depression. Victory is at odds with loss. Peace is at odds with anxiety. Sonship is at odds with orphanhood. Protection is at odds with danger. Strength is at odds with weakness. So all of these promises that we have in the Word of God, they are in direct, they are in combat with the earthly realities that we live out every single day. They are contrary and they are opposite of the things that we experience as human beings on the earth. So for Abraham, and his promise concerning becoming the father of many nations, that was at odds with his infertility. Abraham was 99 years old, and Sarah, I believe, was close to the same age. And so she had gone through menopause already. She had completely lost her ability to have children. And not only that, but she had been barren their whole life, their whole marriage. And so on top of that, Abraham, things weren't functioning. I really need to be careful. I'm going to get in trouble while I'm preaching this message. But Abraham, things were not functioning the way they functioned when he was 30 years old. Things had changed for Abraham and for Sarah. And so these things that they were experiencing as earthly realities were at odds with the promise that God had spoken over him. And actually, there's two portions of scripture where Abraham literally, when you see what it says there in the Hebrew, that it says that he began to belly laugh whenever God said that he would be the father of many nations. He was rolling. He was just like, God, how on earth do you expect me to become a father of many nations? And then there was another time when there was a Christophany, and actually Jesus appeared to Abraham and Sarah, and whenever Jesus was speaking directly to Abraham about his descendants, Sarah started to laugh. Why? Because their earthly realities were in direct, they were in direct opposition to what God was speaking over them. And we live in that same reality. And so here's the question that we need to ask. What principles can we take from Abraham's life so that we can see the promises of God invade our earthly realities? I loved Pastor Thomas multiple times prophetically used that word invade. Invade the space, God. Invade our reality. Invade where we are. That's what we're going to talk about today. So focusing now on verse 18, and I'm going to flip. I'm no longer going to be reading in the Passion Translation. I'm now going to switch to the New King James Version. And again, notes are right there. It says, Abraham, contrary to hope, in hope believed. Whew, there's so much there. So that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken. So, A there in your notes says he believed contrary to hope. The image we receive from this statement is that there were things that were battling against Abraham's hope. What were those things? Age and biology. The natural cycles of life and the natural cycles of nature itself were diabolically opposed to what it was that God was speaking over him. But this is the nature of the promises of God being at odds with hopeless earthly realities. See, we need to understand something. God only speaks from a heavenly reality. God only speaks from what's going on in heaven. And so there's a person that I really love, a preacher that I really love, and he speaks about this a lot, that in heaven there is no sickness. In heaven there is no poverty. In heaven there is no depression. In heaven there are no earthly realities in heaven. And so whenever God speaks directly from his reality. God speaks directly from a place that around him, he doesn't see sickness. He doesn't see depression. He doesn't see anxiety. All he sees is the glory and the wonder and the bigness of who he is, and he speaks from that place into our earthly reality. Whew. So there is no supernatural in heaven. There's only natural. What's supernatural to us is just normal in heaven. What's supernatural to us, or what looks like God invading an earthly reality to us, is just how it always is in heaven. Okay, and so that's the place that God speaks from. And so when God promises something, what's natural in the earth collides with a superior heavenly reality, and then it is up to us to decide which reality we will agree with. It's up to us to decide, am I going to believe what God says about this? Am I going to believe God's reality in this situation? Or am I going to trust in heaven's reality? Or am I going to continue to lean into the earthly reality that I'm experiencing, the hopeless earthly situation that I'm in? Because we have to realize something. There are no miracles without seemingly hopeless situations. There are no miracles without seemingly hopeless situations. We can't cry out. So this is, now I want to talk directly to our mothers and fathers in the faith and the people that have been at this for a long time. All of us that are crying out for revival, all of us that are crying out for the kingdom of God to come and to be established in the earth and to be established here in Fayetteville, North Carolina, all of us that are crying out for this stuff, all of us that are interceding Monday through Thursday right now and on Saturday nights, all of us that are lifting up prayer, listen to me. We can't cry out for miracles and revival and be surprised when conflict knocks on our door. We can't be caught off guard when COVID-19 shows up. When we've been crying out for revival, when we've been crying out for heavenly realities, when we've been asking God to come down and show himself strong, when we've been asking God to show up, when we've been asking for the promises of God, and then an opportunity to appropriate the promises of God shows up, and then we're, oh my Lord, what are we going to do? That's not what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to not be surprised when the enemy comes at us. It's what he's about. It's what he does. And so we, as the body of Christ, have to realize that the promises of God are heavenly realities that are positioned on the other side of intimacy with God amidst hopeless earthly realities. The promises of God are positioned on the other side of intimacy. So our being with God, our seeking after God, our desiring God, our declaring the promises of God, our staying hungry for the word of God, our seeking after him and seeking after the things that he said about the situations that we're in, all of the reality of heaven is on the other side of crying out to God in the midst of these hopeless situations that we're in. Because here's a really important thing to realize too. Some of y'all might be having a really good life. There was some bad stuff going on in the earth before COVID ever showed up. There were things that were driving people away from intimacy with God long before COVID-19 showed up. And so this reality that we're talking about right now, staying intimate with God despite whatever it is that we're going through, it's something that we're going to need long after we conquer this thing. And we are going to conquer this thing. But long after we conquer this thing, we're still going to have situations. You know, even as we talk about the last days, do you understand something? Whenever we look at 2 Timothy 3 and it's talking about all of the terrible things that are going to be going on in the last days, there's a little scripture, there's a little clause there at the bottom that says, and these shall not prevail. These shall not prevail. But they won't prevail if we continue steadfast, just like Pastor Al talked about. Pastor Dad, we got to coin that thing. Just like Pastor Dad talked about on our CL talk last Wednesday, we've got to continue to strike the ground. Strike the ground and remain to stay in deep connected relationship with God. Because that's what Abraham did. Coming down here to B, point B in our notes, Abraham had the promise, but listen to me, he had to remain intimate with Sarah and God despite the hopelessness of his situation. Let's look at Romans 4, 19 through 20 in the Amplified Version. It's so easy to preach faster when you guys aren't here because no one's egging me on. Like, but shout me down in the comment section and I'll watch later. So it says right here, now we're in the Amplified, not the Amplified Classic. There's a difference between those. So this is like the one time that the new Amplified version did a better job than the Classic Amplified version. It says here, without becoming weak in faith, he considered his own body. Now circle that and we're going to come back to that later. As good as dead for producing children since he was about 100 years old. And he considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. But, now circle that even bigger, but he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promises of God. And then this is the major part that we're going to come back to whenever we're rounding all of this out. It says, but he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God. All right, so right there underneath B1A, it says, I wrote there that we're going to focus on where he said he considered his own body. He did not deny the earthly reality, but he did not doubt or waver in unbelief concerning the promises. Now we are a product here at this church. We are a product of a faith movement that took place for a very long period of time in our church history, but it was a very recent movement that took place. So it was within the last 100 years, there was something very specific in our church history called the faith movement, the word of faith movement. And actually, Pastor Dad was a very, very big part of that spreading in America. He was a pastor at a church called Word of Faith down in Dallas, Texas for many years. And so we are a product of the Word of Faith movement. Now, every single movement that's happened in church history has had really, really positive things. And then there's a couple of things that can be offshoots that are not the intention of the people who began that movement. So when the Word of Faith movement began, people were talking about confessing the word of God because that's a positive, amazing thing that we have to do in declaring the word of God and realizing our authority as believers. Now, an offshoot of that came over here. Here's the original Word of Faith, awesome, amazing movement that happened in the church. And then there's an offshoot over here of people that started talking, and they made people so afraid of realizing the earthly realities that whenever they would give altar calls for people to come and get healed, they wouldn't even come down to the front to get prayed for because they were afraid that their confession was going to be messed up. And so that's a negative offshoot of the original that happened, that we have to realize that it is not a bad thing to realize that bad stuff happens. It's not a bad thing to realize Abraham considered his own body practically being dead. Abraham considered the deadness of Sarah's womb. He was aware of the earthly reality, but he didn't waver in his faith. So now, there's a lot of people that because they don't understand the original intention of the Word of Faith movement, and they're only focused on all of these offshoots that did a bad job, they're not focused on the original people that were really going after God, and they're focusing on all of the bad stuff that came out of that movement, they're now trying to roll backwards and say, well, you know, you just got to be okay with your fear. And you just got to be okay with your anxiety. And you just got to be okay with your doubt. And you just got to be okay. Okay, you've got to recognize and consider those things, but you don't stay there. You don't stay there. You don't stay in the place of going, like going, you have to go before God. Like the man who said to Jesus when his son would throw himself into the fire, he said to Jesus, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. So there's a realization there that something had to shift inside of him, right? And so it's the same thing with us, that whenever we're confronting our earthly realities with the promises of God, of course you need to recognize when you have fear, because you need to address that fear in the presence of God. You need to address that fear according to the Word of God. So that's the whole point. You realize the earthly realities so that you can bring them before the promises of God and watch heavenly realities destroy earthly realities. Or rather, watch heavenly realities overtake inferior realities. Because like right now, heaven is more real than what we are living right now. God is more real than what we are living right now. And he upholds all things. He holds all things in his hands. And that's the greater reality. And so as we remain in intimacy with God, we begin to see, I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. All right, let me go back, rewind a little bit. So I said here, Abraham continued in intimacy with Sarah despite the earthly realities. Pastor Dad says all of the time, truth trumps what's true. I heard another pastor say recently, truth is never at the mercy of what's true. Never at the mercy of what's true. And why is that? Because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And so whatever it is that's going on in the earth, it's less true. It might be true, but it is not as true as the truth of who God is and the truth of what God has said over us. If we do not immediately see a response to us crying out for the promises of God and staying in intimacy with God, we cannot allow earthly realities to drive us away from intimacy, but rather deeper into intimacy. So the way I view this in my mind is that every single time Abraham and Sarah realized that she wasn't yet pregnant, that instead of going, well, I guess we should give up, they were intimate again. Abraham started chasing Sarah around the house again. Abraham started saying little things to Sarah, said, well, I'll see you later on tonight in the tent, lady. And he started saying, he drew her into intimacy, and he was drawn into intimacy with her, and they continued to be intimate no matter what the response was directly after the intimacy. So conception takes time sometimes, My wife and I know this. Many of you know this. Many of you who are watching with us have tried to have children, and some of you have had miscarriages. Some of you have tried and tried and tried and seen delays happen in your pregnancies and things like that. Sometimes it takes time. But the only way to get pregnant is to continue in intimacy. You can't stop. Abraham didn't say, well, I guess we're just going to have like an immaculate conception. No. He continued in intimacy with her, and that's how he saw the promises of God revealed. But we have to realize that the devil will try to leverage delay into weakness. The devil wants to weaken you with delay. The best way for him to do this is to get us to doubt whether or not God cares. So, a lot of us in the faith movement, a lot of us that believe in the supernatural and the charismatic, a lot of us who have seen people get out of wheelchairs, seen people healed of cancer, seen people have children after years of trying, seen people walking in the promises of God, seen financial provision, a lot of us, I know that I've been in this place before, a lot of us that have seen those things may never doubt that God can, but the devil is sneaky and will try and get you to believe that God doesn't care. Because you can believe that God can, and you can believe that God doesn't care in the same breath, at the same time. And so we need to be careful, and we need to remain in intimacy. Why? Because what happens in intimacy is that's the place where God tells us, I care. I care, and I'm working for you, and I'm working with you, and I am with you in this process, and I am developing things on the inside of you, and I am bringing things out on the inside of you that you will never understand until you've come all the way through this. Because when we stay intimate with God in his presence and in his word, we are continually aware of who he is. We are continually aware of his goodness, not just of what he's capable of, but who he is. So, down here, the last scripture that I want to focus on, got a couple more minutes with you guys. It says, all the way there at the bottom, in verse 20, this is the B clause of verse 20, it says, he grew strong and empowered by faith, giving glory to God. Abraham grew strong and was empowered in his faith, by faith, giving glory to God. Very important there. Whenever we look at the Greek, that word glory is dosha. And I can't get over how beautiful this word is. Ah. Dosha means to praise and to stand in the brightness of. To praise and to stand in the brightness of. If one of you guys could come and hop on the keys. Psalm 100 verse 4 in the B clause, it says, go into his courts with praise. How do we remain intimate with God? How do we remain intimate despite the earthly situations, the earthly hopeless situations that we're going through? We praise, and as we praise, we enter into the brightness of who God is. We enter into his glory. Abraham would enter into the courts of God and then bask in the brightness of who God was. He engaged in intimacy. So when you praise, first of all, Ephesians 2 says that you are seated in heavenly places. Whether you're aware of it or not, heaven's all around you right now. Right now. But I think what happens is as we begin to praise, it's not so much that we step into the presence of God as it is that we open our eyes to what's already around us. We open our eyes to what's been there all along. And it's not the presence of God that leaves us. It's us that we close our eyes to the heavenly reality and we make ourselves more aware of the earthly reality. And so what we have to do is as we begin to praise, we enter into the courts of God. We enter, just like we did this morning. We enter into the presence of God. And he begins to reveal himself to us. He begins to talk to us about himself. And as we read the word of God and worship him out of the word of God, he speaks to us and he says, I can and I care. I can and I care. And we have to be like Abraham. We can't allow the situation, we can't allow the delay to say, you know what? I'm not going to worship again this morning. I'm not going to read my Bible again this morning, because what's the point? God, I'm not going to stop believing in you, but I just don't know if I can be close to you. I know I've felt that way before. I know I've felt like I'm not going to stop believing in you, but I don't. I'm not so sure about your nearness right now. But as we begin to praise Dosha, as we begin to praise and we begin to enter into the brightness of who God is, the glory and the light. Isaiah 60 says, arise and shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is all around you. It is all around you, wherever you are. COVID-19, the glory of the Lord is still all around us. If you had cancer before all of this nonsense was going on, the glory of the Lord is all around you. The brightness of who God is all around you. If you've been struggling through financial situations and you've been struggling through poverty, the glory of the Lord is all around you. And all you have to do is enter into and stay in intimacy with God. Enter into that place of intimacy with the Lord, because that's where he wants you. That's where he desires for you to be. And all you have to do is begin to talk to God about who he is. And that's not so much for God as it is for you. You begin to talk to God about who he is. You realize he's been there all along. And he can and he cares. I just speak that over someone right now. God can, not only can he do this, he cares about doing it. So, if it seems like there's a delay, stay intimate. If it seems like more complications come, stay intimate. If it seems like nothing's changing, stay intimate. If it seems like things just aren't working out, stay intimate. Stay there. Stay in that place of communion with God. Turn on some worship music. Do something. Get your eyes off of the earthly realities and onto the superior reality, onto the reality that God is with you, God is for you, God is strong, God is powerful, God is mighty, God is love, God is always with me. He is Emmanuel, he is El Shaddai, he is Jehovah Rapha, he is Adonai, he is every good thing that I can think of. That is who God is. And as I begin to speak that, I realize he's around me, and he's working, he's working, he's working. I want to get practical with this. Please look at your notes. If you're on Facebook, I can encourage you to go look at the notes later, because at the end here, I've got 5 different points, and I want to do this right now as a body, wherever we are across the earth right now. I want to do this together, okay? So if you could just close your eyes, begin to pray in the Spirit, or just begin to worship the Father. Start by praising him. Praise God for what he's done in Scripture. Praise God for dying on the cross for you. Praise God for opening the Red Sea to the Israelites. Praise God for causing fire to fall on the altar whenever Elijah was praying. Praise God for leading David into victory. Praise God for all of the miracles that were done in the New Testament. Praise God for all of the miracles that were done through the hands of the apostles in Acts. Praise God for all of that stuff. Anything that you can find to praise God for, praise him for it right now. Praise God for things that he's done in other people's lives. Praise God for the other people that you've seen have financial breakthrough. Praise God for the other people that you've seen have breakthrough in their depression and in their insecurities. Praise God Praise God for what he's done in lives of people all around you. Praise God for what he's done on TBN. Praise God for what he's doing at Bethel. Praise God for what he's doing at Free Chapel in Atlanta. Praise God for what he's doing. It doesn't matter. Find something and focus in on that. Think of a story that you've heard. Think of someone that you know that's had something. If you feel like God hasn't done anything in your life, praise him for what he's doing in other people's lives. And if he's done something in your life, praise, remember. If it seems like God worked a long time ago and he hasn't been working for a good amount of time in your life, praise him for what you remember him doing. Praise him for the breath in your lungs. Praise him that he saved you. Just begin to praise him. Oh, Father, we praise you. Praise you for everything that you've done in our lives. God, praise you for the technology to be able to still worship with each other through live streaming and Facebook and YouTube and websites and all of that stuff. God, praise you. God, praise you for what you're doing in Mexico right now. God, praise you for what you're doing in Nicaragua. Praise you for what you're doing in the earth. Praise you for what you're doing through Jack Harris in India and Vietnam and all of God, praise you for what you're doing in Thailand through Charlie Milbert. Praise you for what you're doing in the Sandhills through Sal and Deb. Praise you, God. You're so good. And your mercy endures forever. You are our shield and our exceedingly great reward. You are Abba, our Father. Now, just in that same place of worship and presence, I want you to ask this question. Repeat after me, say, Holy Spirit, have I allowed hopeless earthly situations to take me out of intimacy with Jesus? Now, I just want to give you a second and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Let Holy Spirit speak to you. Let him show you if there's been situations. Let him show you if this COVID-19 has caused you to doubt his goodness or caused you to doubt his promises. Ask him to show you if it's caused you to draw away from him instead of drawing near to him. We just want to give you some time to do that. I encourage you to write it down if you can. Holy Spirit, show us if there's anything that we've allowed to take us out of intimacy with you. Show us if we've been too focused on an earthly reality instead of a heavenly reality. All right, next, repeat this prayer after me, please, wherever you are. Say, Father, I repent for allowing these things to drive me from you instead of towards you. I ask you for your forgiveness and for the Holy Spirit, for the help of the Holy Spirit to engage once again in intimacy with you. Now, number four, we're going to ask the Holy Spirit one more question. And then I'm going to give you a directive that you can do for the rest of the week. But here, number four, I want you to say this. Say, Holy Spirit, you are the teacher. What scriptures relate to my situation? What promises pertain to what I'm going through? And now just allow him to speak. And if you're new to this, if you're recently filled with the Holy Spirit, if you've recently been saved and you're not really sure how to hear the voice of God, first of all, I want to encourage you that you can. But if you're just feeling like maybe you're unsure or you haven't read the Bible very much, another really practical thing you can do is just Google scriptures about whatever it is that you're going through. If you're sick, Google scriptures about health. If you need to forgive someone, Google scriptures about forgiveness. If you need forgiveness, Google scriptures about forgiveness or joy or finances, peace, anxiety, whatever. Google is an amazing resource for seeking the face of the Lord. And ask Holy Spirit to reveal those scriptures to you, reveal those promises to you. Write those down And then number five, I want you to take those scriptures spoken to you by the Holy Spirit or found on Google or whatever, and I want you to begin to draw near to the Father every day with those promises. Every day with those promises. A practical way of looking at this, you know, there's a scripture that says God sent his word and healed them. So if you're just, I just want to kind of focus on healing right now. There's a lot of other directions we could go with this, but just specifically focusing on healing, a way that you could pray through that scripture is just to say, Father, I thank you that you are a sender of the word. I thank you that you send your word. I thank you that your word has power. And I thank you that your word is able to heal. Just something as simple as that. And then begin to ask the Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit, Spirit, speak to me about this scripture. Another thing that you can do is sing that scripture. Sing that scripture. Just find a tune in your head. Say, thank you, Lord, that you send your word and heal me. Maybe you don't sing so good. It doesn't matter. Just sing the scriptures. Enter in. Think through them. Meditate on them. Say, God, begin to think, he sent his word. What does it mean to send? What does it mean that he sent his word? What are the implications of his word being able to heal me? Think through those scriptures, meditate on them. And this is a really practical way to stay in intimacy with God, using the promises of God and staying intimate with him and not allowing delay to cause you to have distrust in the Lord. Now, if you're watching us, this really important, most important part of the service, if you're watching us right now and you've never accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior, if you've never experienced what it is that we're talking about, if you've never felt loved, if you've never felt joy, if you've never, and you want to experience those things, if you're feeling unsafe right now because of everything that's going on in the world, if you feel scared, God is a good God. He's a faithful Father. Jesus is amazing. The Holy Spirit is amazing. This life that we live is incredible, incredible. And so if you want to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to pray this with me. Say, Father, I thank you for saving me. I thank you that there is a life greater than the life I'm living right now. There are better realities that I can walk in. And so I ask for your forgiveness. Forgive me, Lord, for the things that I've done, for the sin that I've committed. I ask you right now to save me. I confess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of my life. I believe that you sent your Son, that he died for me, that he rose again, and that I can be raised to life with him in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer with me, you want to say that, or you want me to say that? I have to remember the numbers of things. If you prayed that prayer with me, I just want you to text on your phone, I got saved, no spaces, I got saved, to 97000, so our team can send you some digital resources that are going to help you as you figure out this life with Jesus, as you begin to walk and follow after him. And so I just want to thank everybody that tuned in with us today. Again, another way of letting us know is you can just, if you're watching us on Facebook, just send a little hands up right there, a little hands up emoticon, and we would love to see and join with you and rejoice with you as you've given your life to the Lord, all right?
Amen. And in texting that 97,000 that got saved, then we want to send you some digital information concerning your next steps in your life, and we want to help you to be discipled as a born-again believer. And also, don't forget, Monday through Thursday, Man, I'm so excited about this. We've got people watching all over the world. I mean, it is blowing up.
So exciting.
Monday through Thursday from 9 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., we have praise
right.
and prayer.
So good.
Amen. And it is so good. It's just a flow of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And also, we have on Wednesday night at 7 p.m., we have CL Talks.
That's right.
And that's where I will be bringing the Word of God to you, or we may have a special guest. And guess what?
We have a special guest.
We have a special guest this Wednesday night that's going to be with us, bringing the Word of God, John Bevere.
That's right.
John Bevere is going to be with us this Wednesday night at 7 p.m. So with a very special message and word from the Lord, as he's been praying, and man, God has got something very special for all of us.
That's
so
right.
Tell your friends, let people know that John Bevere is going to be speaking to us on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. And then we have our CL Moments Friday and Saturday at 7 a.m. with our pastors, and that is on Facebook and YouTube. So we've got plenty of things going out. And matter of fact, we've got some things cooking in the oven that we're endeavoring to put together right now to help bring more of the Word
right.
to educate you in the Word of God and to get that foundation. Like Pastor Cameron said, that we're living in these last days. Paul said in the last days there'll be terrible times, horrific times, times hard to deal with, very stressful times. That's in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 1. And so we're there, but yet at the same time, we don't have to stress out.
That's right.
You know, we don't have to freak out.
That's right.
You know, we don't have to just get into depression and things of that nature, because God has given us what an outstanding message. And guess what? What a message to lead us into next week, where we have praise and communion on our last Sunday of
That's
the
right.
month. And so prepare yourself. We're just going to see the glory of God
Amen.
Manifested. Amen. So we say God bless
God
you.
Bless you.
Don't forget to let all your friends know that they can see this word. What an incredible word.
That's right.
Incredible word. Practical word. See it at 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m.
That's right.
And so we love you very much. God bless you. Have a great, blessed week in the Lord.
We love you.
Let's keep praying. God bless you.